I'd like to ask if you'd, in your Bible, turn to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to talk for a while. Amen. Our young people are going to stay inside today. Won't be a separate youth church today. But in the book of Matthew, I'd like to direct your attention to that 28th chapter. Chapter 28, book of Matthew. Did some of our young people go to the back? Would you have them come inside? Okay. We want to do all we can as a church family to grow our young people. There are some opportunities, and I believe Easter Sunday is one of them, that we want to be united and together. In the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 28, it's the story or the reflection of where Jesus is risen from the grave. And if you'll go to that very first verse in chapter 28, it reads like this, and this is the New American Standard reading. Now after the Sabbath, as it begins to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his garment as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who had been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And so this morning from this set of scriptures, going to speak from this message. Why empty is important. Why empty is important. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing with us as a church family as we investigate and look at the Word of God. We want to be a church that God is pleased with. Will somebody say amen? Amen. God bless you for your new suit and clothes and all that we do getting ready for Easter. But in the end, it's not about us. Will somebody say amen? See, we believe that Jesus is real, that Jesus is alive, and that Jesus wants all of us to follow him. Will somebody say amen? Amen. I was looking this week through items at the house and stumbled on an old, I would almost call it artifact. But in the 80s, as a family, we were involved with what we call multi-level marketing. And as many other people were, but we had a chance to have some success in it and met a person whose name was Zig Ziglar. Now, I don't know if you've heard of him. You may have, especially if you've been involved in sales. But Zig Ziglar was once considered the greatest salesman in the world. He sold pots and pans. Didn't sell diamonds or rubies or nothing. He sold pots and pans. He went door to door selling pots and pans. But he was elevated to the position of being recognized as the best at what he did. And he became a motivational person traveling all over the world. You had a big company, you wanted Zig Ziglar to come and talk to your staff. Help them to understand that this is about production. This is about doing your best. And he gave me and my wife a check. And don't get me wrong, it wasn't any money. But one of his checks, and he wrote on it, "I hope you have great success." And I stumbled on it this past week. Mm-hmm. Thinking back how good God has been in my life. See, I figured out God doesn't owe me anything. But he's been good. And he helped me understand why it's important that the tomb was empty. We know the story. We talk about it. We preach it. We teach it. And every year, a lot of the world focuses on what we call Resurrection Sunday. But in the end, after we have the celebration of Resurrection Sunday, somebody's got to live a resurrected life. Will you say amen? I thank God for those who are able to come and to celebrate, but it's got to be more than me showing up week after week on Sunday morning. It's got to be more than me showing up for Bible study. It's got to be more than me looking for a title so somebody can hold me up like they did a Zig Ziglar. People may never know who I am, but I want them to know who Jesus is. He's worthy to be praised. Will somebody say amen? I know the sister visiting with us today sounded like she was excited about Jesus. But I come with a news flash. We all need to be excited about Jesus. Is that right? Not just once a year, twice a year. Always excited. And so we look at this set of scriptures and we realize that this story is about people who had committed their lives to Jesus Christ. They believe what he taught. I wonder how many people in our churches really believe what Jesus teaches. Don't fool me now. Because this is not a plaything. This is real. This is real life. And whether people believe it or not, do you know that God knows everything we're doing today, tomorrow, next week, and next year? Is that right? Because the God we serve is alive. And so I look at this scripture, and I think about the ones who were called disciples. They were followers of Jesus Christ. They had seen him do miraculous things. They'd seen him heal the lame, give sight to the blind, raise people as believed dead. Now, why is it important that that's recorded for us as believers and saints today? Because we need to have it reinforced in our lives. It's not enough to come once in a while to church. Church ought to be an everyday thing. Whether we have a church house or not, we ought to praise a holy Savior. And so these disciples had followed Jesus and they'd seen what he could do. They'd heard Jesus teach and preach that he was the Messiah. Now stop there for a minute and I want us to think. If you believe you're following the Messiah, the Lamb of God, the Prince of Peace, shouldn't that make your life special? Can you imagine being able to go back and be in that time when Jesus physically came to the earth? Physically came. And some people were able to witness him on earth. Now, we don't have that opportunity today for Jesus to perhaps come into our present, though many of us believe that God moves in mysterious ways and we've had unusual experiences that we call contact with God. Because I come to tell you, God is real. Now, preacher, you said that a number of times. Why are you repeating that? Because there are some people in the world who don't know that God is real. My new suit, my new dress, my new hat, That does not make me a follower of Jesus. Will somebody say amen? Amen. God bless you for all that you do for the church. But in the end, my being a deacon, a missionary, a minister is not what God wants me to focus on down here. Are you living the life that I want you to live? Are you sharing with people the good news of Jesus Christ? Because do you know that God didn't save you for you? Will somebody say amen? God saved us so that we could help others to know that Jesus is who we need in our life. He's a mighty God, and he's worthy to be praised. So this story is where, of course, Jesus has now been crucified. He's been crucified. I have a hard time sometimes even grasping this idea that the Romans felt and the Jews felt, that group that was against Jesus, they felt like if they could hang him on a cross, if they could have people paraded around and see that this Messiah, this Jesus, this Lamb of God, this Prince of Peace, we can hang him on a cross. We can put nails in his hand. We can put nails in his feet because we want people to think the worst of Jesus, not the best of Jesus. But I come by with another news flash. They didn't know what we know. They didn't know that when you hung him on the cross, he was on his mission. And because he was on his mission, he wasn't going to stop until his mission was fulfilled. Can you see Jesus as he laid down his life for you and for me? Now, I know I'm not worthy, never have been worthy, but I know somebody who looked beyond my faults and saw what I needed in my life. That somebody was Jesus Christ. Now here's a group of people and their leader has now been put to shame in the minds of the Romans. Oh, but Jesus was ready. Because he knew what was coming. He knew the cross was coming. He knew they were going to put him in a borrowed tomb. But he knew that that borrowed tomb could not hold the Messiah. It was already planned out. Preacher, when did they make a decision that he wasn't going to stay in the grave? Before creation. Can we understand that? Before there was anything created, the decision had already been made that I'm going to hang on the cross. Jesus, why would you hang on a cross? Why would you allow them to put nails in your hand to embarrass you? Because I'm not embarrassed because I got work that needs to be done. What is your work, Jesus? My work is to go and redeem those who will believe in me. Believe in my message. Believe in my mission. And when they commit themselves to me, I got good news. They are committed to eternal life. They will be blessed with eternal life. And so now at this situation, Jesus has been laid in the tomb, but not yet raised until the right time comes. See, the Romans thought they had him. They thought they had him wrapped up. They thought they had everything under control. Now we don't have to worry anymore about this Jesus and his teaching that he is the Son of God, that he is the one who can redeem people from their sin. We won't have to worry about that because once we put him in the grave and put a stone in front of that grave, he ain't going nowhere. Oh, but here I am again, and I got another news flash. The grave couldn't hold him. The rock couldn't keep him in that tomb. Because the decision had been made early on Sunday morning. I'm going to rise just like I said I would. And when I get up, I'm going to show people that the grave has no power over man and woman if they learn how to trust a holy Savior that we call Jesus Christ. Do you believe? Do you believe, saints? Because see, this is not about your neighbor believing. Will somebody say amen? Your neighbor may be shouting for joy, and some people going to look at him cross-eyed. Somebody going to say, what's wrong with that woman? What's wrong with that man? But the truth is, there's nothing wrong with them. There's something wrong with me. If I can't see Jesus raised from the grave, there's something wrong with me. If I can't see Jesus as the Lamb of God, as the Rose of Sharon, there's something wrong with me. And so the followers had to understand Jesus was going to keep his promises. Didn't he say? On the third day, he was going to rise. Why would we doubt him? Why would they doubt him? But before we be too cruel to the people who may have doubted Jesus, we got to ask ourselves, where do I stand? What do I believe? See, I can't believe on Sunday that Jesus got up from the grave. But on Monday, I'm upset because something happened in my life. I can't believe on Sunday that God raised Jesus from the grave. But on Tuesday, I'm wondering how I'm going to get along tomorrow. How am I going to deal with my problems? How am I going to deal with my situation? But I come by with another news flash. God didn't say, when you are a believer, that you won't have some downs as well as some ups. I wonder if there's anybody here that's had any challenges in your life. As a believer, you've had some challenges in your life. I love to be able to tell you that all your challenges are over because you're a member of a church, because you sing about Jesus, because you read about Jesus. But the truth is, as long as we're physically down here on this earth, we may have some downs as well as some ups. But don't ever think that God has forgotten you. Don't ever think that God doesn't care about what's happening in our lives. And so when the women came to the grave, and they found the grave empty, the angels had to tell him, he's not here. He's not here. I understand why you're looking for him here, because this is normally the way it happened. You put somebody in the grave and you think that's the end of it. But he is not here. He is what? Risen. He's risen just like he said he was going to rise. And because he's risen, we will one day be risen. Will somebody say amen? Amen? Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Preacher, what are you talking about absent? How do you know that a person's going to heaven just like God said? Because we trust God. Because we believe what God teaches. And believing can't mean that I believe one day and the next day I'm upset because I don't know I'm saved. We got to know, church, that we are saved. We got to know that Jesus' resurrection was for us. To know that when the end of our physical time comes down here on this earth, there's a place already prepared. Is that right? And God will open the door for us and we'll be able to see Jesus face to face. And so he told the women, the angels told the women, he's not here. He's risen, and I guess we have to ask ourselves, what is that next step? If I really believe that Jesus is risen from the grave, what's my next step? What should I be doing? I talked about Zig Ziglar earlier because it was interesting to meet him, and he's a character, quite a person, but I came to understand he does not compare to Jesus. Will somebody say amen? Amen. Oh, yeah, you can be the best in your field. Yeah. The best, do the best you can do. God is pleased when we do our very best at whatever we are assigned to in life. Yeah. Do our best and recognize that we are here for a purpose. And just like this group came to look for Jesus, they found out that to continue this ministry, they had to go to work. Jesus was going back to be with his Father. They had to go to work. Church, do we recognize we have to go to work? Don't be satisfied to let somebody else preach for you. Don't be happy that somebody else shows up at Sunday school where you and I should be. We need to do our best for Jesus. And if we want to really have a glorious Resurrection Sunday, it's got to be just like this group in the Bible that this story is about, where they pick up that cross and they would follow Jesus Christ. Now, here's the last thing. If you're going to follow Jesus, it can't be part-time. Will somebody say amen? It cannot be part-time. Because Jesus would say this in his teaching, you are either for me or against me. You're either for me or against me. What is that saying? I can't be for Jesus on Sunday and Monday. But on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I'm cussing like a sailor. Will somebody say amen? Amen. Now, see, people are quick to say, well, it's not bad to have it, just colorful language. It's not colorful. Help me, somebody. Ain't nothing colorful about cussing. And it's not just cussing. It's things that we should not do as saints. We want to represent a holy God. A holy God. I noticed there are some people that came in to visit with us today from Louisiana and other places. And may God bless and keep you. Because wherever we live, Jesus is there. He is not a better Jesus in Houston than he is in Denver, Colorado, or Alexandria, Louisiana. He's the same God. And so we want to take this seriously. We want to commit ourselves, church, to be a one-person crew, a one-person army, if you will. You may not believe that's possible, but one person on a mission to let the world know God is real. Jesus is real. He's real in your life and in my life. We come to understand whatever you have to endure, endure it for Jesus. Lift up that banner. Hold up that cross. Let it become a signal for you. Let it become a recognition to other people that you are different from many people in the world. Different in what sense, preacher? Different because you don't just talk Jesus. You live Jesus. And if you live him, you're all right if your neighbor doesn't understand. What do you mean? Some people are put off, discouraged, because the person sitting next to them won't say amen, won't say hallelujah, acting crazy, running up and down the aisle, waving their hand, smiling and talking. Every other word out of their mouth is Jesus. But here's my last news flash. Jesus is important to each one of us. There is no substitute for Jesus Christ. Will somebody say amen? There's no substitute, Deacon, for Jesus Christ. And so if there's no substitute, I can't really be concerned about who does not like the message. I'm going to talk Jesus. I'm going to shout Jesus. I'm going to sing Jesus because he ought to have a place in my heart. So I'm looking for some witnesses now. I don't want you to come to church and feel like it wasn't Resurrection Sunday. I'm looking for somebody who really believes that Jesus got up out of the grave. Do I have any saints? He got up out of the grave. And let me tell you why it's so important that the tomb was empty. If that tomb had not been empty, if the women had found Jesus in that tomb, we would have no right to the tree of life. But because that tomb was empty, because he got up like he said he was going to get up, we got reason to shout hallelujah. We got reason to say thank you, Lord. We got reason to say, Lord, have mercy on me. We got reason to say, God, you are alive, and I raise my hand to you. I celebrate that you are a holy God. Do I have some witnesses here? Don't fool me now. I wonder if anybody is bold enough to wave your hand. Are you bold enough to say, Lord, here I am. Use me, Lord, in your service. I wonder if anybody's bold enough to stand on your feet and praise the holy God. Don't fool me. Don't fool me now. See, you can fool me, but we can't fool God. I wonder if somebody will say hallelujah with me. Hallelujah, hallelujah to a holy God. The grave had to be empty. It had to be empty. If he was there, we would have no resurrection. But because the tomb was empty, we are able to smile. In spite of circumstances, in spite of things that may not go the way we want them to go, we are able to say, Lord, thank you. You are a loving God. You are a mighty God. You are worthy to be praised. One more time, let's shout hallelujah to a holy God. Hallelujah to a holy God. Hallelujah to a holy God. May God bless you. I'm so glad that Jesus got up, made a way out of no way, made a way out of no way, opened a door that no man or woman can close. And right now, we're just going to point to Jesus, because there might be somebody in our midst who might not know, might not yet believe that Jesus is important in their life. If you are here, listen to me. Listen to me. Don't do this for your neighbor. Don't do this for anybody other than what God lays on your heart. But if there's anybody here and you are ready for a new direction in your life, I want you to get up and just come up here to the front of the church, because we can't be ashamed about Jesus. Is there anybody here? And you're the only one who knows whether you're a member of a church, whether you have a church family, whether you've ever declared Jesus as Lord and Savior. You're the only one who knows. Doesn't matter where you live. You don't even have to join this church, but it's time to make a commitment for Jesus Christ. Is there one? Is there one? Would you come? Would you come this morning? Is there one?
Jesus, while you have time,
will you come?
Come unto Jesus. Make up your mind. Make your life brand new. He'll take good care of you. Will you come to Jesus? While you,
amen, church, amen. I was to offer yours to accept. And always remember this, it's not about whether you make that commitment to Jesus, it's when you make it. You got to stand up. Don't let anybody keep you from being part of Jesus' team. So thankful to the ushers, to the deacons, the ministers, and every saint for gathering. We're just going to have a good time. And no matter what people may think, this church is going to stay on fire for Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Holy God.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huff Smith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."